Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Gentleman who joins us now on the fan hotline will be asking questions during that. He covers the Browns for the Chronicle Telegram, brownzone.com, where you can read all of his work. He's Mr. Scott Petrak. Hello, Scott.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Scotty?
You know, I found your story that you have on brownzone.com really interesting because we didn't hear a whole lot about this during the week. But Joel Bitonio saying Kevin got pretty intense last Monday after the loss to the Steelers. And I don't know if it was calling guys out or screaming or yelling or whatever, but Joel said he liked it. What more have you heard about what happened last week?
Yeah, it was interesting. We're going to ask Kevin about it today because Joel talked either after Kevin had talked, so we didn't get to ask Kevin about it. I'm sure he's not going to
ask. Do you want your answer?
Great answer.
Do you want your answer right now? Scott, you know, sorry, Dan.
We keep all those in-house.
You know, I'm not going to talk about another player in my conversations with him. Am I right?
Well, yeah, but this is a conversation with the whole team that he's saying. So,
okay.
But I know he'll probably go that way or yeah. He'll go, we're moving on to New England or whatever. But it's certainly interesting because, you know, Kevin Stefanski is known for being even keel. I think that's one of the biggest knocks on him when people, you know, when the Browns lose, people like to talk about how he has no emotion. Well, obviously he showed some, which we should expect. I mean, he's a football coach, right? These guys want to win games. They're ultra competitive. So it shouldn't be a surprise that the coach gets mad when they've lost three in a row and his offense can't score any points. But the fact that he showed the guys, and Joel said it's happened a few times in their 6 years together, but he appreciated it. He said he laid out the expectations, especially for the offensive side of the ball, and told people what they needed to do. So I think that just it speaks to the frustration level, and then it speaks to how important it is to these guys and that they knew they needed to do something, and they felt like the chances have been there to win. And I think that was one of the most frustrating things is it doesn't feel like a lost cause in that building. They feel like they should be winning, and the fact that they're not is what has frustrated everybody.
Is this the game plan they're going to use moving forward? I mean, Jeff and I were both pretty excited. I think everybody was excited to see that they ran the ball, 33 times, and Judkins had 25 carries. Is that the game plan, you think, moving forward to try to be a little bit heavier towards the run? Or was it the weather that dictated that yesterday?
Well, I was going to say, you can't get away from the weather aspect of it. Yeah. I think that was huge in Stefanski saying, hey, this is what we have to do. And you have to look at the opponent, too. Sure. You know, I felt that they knew that if they played a clean game, that they'd have a good chance to beat Miami. That Miami would make enough mistakes, and Miami certainly made plenty of mistakes. So, you know, I don't think they believe that they can win games consistently in this league, throwing the ball 18 times. But I think it should be, and I think they realize that it should be a balance between what was on display in Pittsburgh and then what they did yesterday. Because, you know, it's not like they ran it great all day. You know, if you take away Judkins' 46-yarder, the average is not good. But it's the commitment to it. And Miami knew it was coming, too, because of the weather and because that's what the Browns were going to do.
And because they're terrible against the run.
Better. Right, right. But they loaded the box, but it was tough to throw the ball. And then the Browns had the lead, so they didn't need to throw the ball. But I think they need to find kind of the happy medium between throwing it 52 times and throwing it only 18 times.
I don't want to go back to the Pittsburgh game, but I was stunned that they ran it so little and threw it so much. And then when you turn around and flip the script a little bit, I think you're right. You've got to find a happy medium. But I wonder if your passing game is up to that happy medium, Scott. Yeah. You know, it didn't have to do much of anything yesterday, so it's hard to make any judgments. But I wonder how they think it's progressing.
Yeah, that's a great point, Jeff. But in this league, if you're going to keep up with teams that can score, you're probably going to have to throw it. Right, and have some success throwing it, so you can't just ignore it, and you can only, you know, go run, punt for so long, right? At some point, you have to force the defense to react and try to stretch the field, all those things. But, yeah, yesterday was such a hard gauge. You know, I mean, everything was underneath. You know, they did fine. Gabriel didn't throw any interceptions, got lucky once or twice. Right? Yeah. The one interception got negated by penalty, and then it looked like one just went through the defender's hands. But that happens. You know, they got Jerry Jeudy a couple catches, Harold Fannin four. You know, they missed David Njoku. They would miss David Njoku in a normal game setting. So there's plenty of room for this offense to grow. You know, yesterday, even though they scored 31, it was so much more about the defense. The pick six, the return to the two, the kick, you know, the fumble on the kickoff. It felt more about the defense and the run game than this offense finding any kind, you know, kind of clicking.
The other thing, too, that's unsung is special teams had a good day. Like, they did what they were supposed to do. And it's amazing to me how offense, sometimes even the offense could look good, or the defense, as we know, is look good. But the special teams messes something up. Yesterday, they did their job finally yesterday. I don't know if, and is that maybe because you're playing Miami, or are they starting to kind of believe in each other on special teams?
Yeah, I mean, I think it helps when your kicker makes all his kicks. That's number one.
Yeah.
I thought Bohorquez had a better day. I feel like he's been inconsistent all year. There's one or two a game, you're like, hey, you know, off the side of his foot or a low line drive that gets returned. I thought he was better, pinned Miami deep a few times, which is part of the whole weather field position game. Then you get the turnover on special teams. They're still lacking the burst in the return game, you know, and I don't know if there's a solution for that, but we haven't seen that. And then there's a couple leaky coverages, even on the fumble one. On the fumble, the guy had a good return, and then they gave up another one later. So there's still room there, but, yeah, it was way more solid. And, you know, Kevin said it the week before, you have to quit losing before you can win. And I felt like special teams felt like a disaster just about every week. And this time there were no disasters and more positives than.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Negatives.
Scott Petrak's joining us. You can read Scott's work covering the Browns at brownszone.com, covers the team for the Chronicle Telegram. The offensive line, oddly enough, when you run the football, the offensive line looks pretty good. They tried to be a little creative there. Some of those jumbo packages seem to do the trick, Scott.
Yeah, and you know, Kevin's done that before, and it's just a matter of yesterday felt like a lot more. than he had. Luke Whipler was out there a bunch. I don't have the exact snap count in front of me, but he was out there a bunch. And then I like that switch to the Wildcat too, which was about as jumbo as you can get. You know, they had two extra linemen in there. I think they went two tight ends and then Quinshon, and you know, you take that, you get that extra blocker on the field because they took Gabriel off the field. It wasn't like he was split wide. He was off the field. So they knew they were going to run the ball. And I think when you're having some issues on the line, especially with the tackle, and they had their seventh different tackle, starting tackle combination in there, then you got to go with numbers. Like, that's the way you can try to make it work up front. And it limits what you can do in the passing game because you just don't have as many bodies. And the defense knows it's coming. But I think that is the way to add bulk. And it shows a commitment to the run game because, you know, you practice it all week and the linemen go, okay, this is what we're going to do this week.
I don't know. I'm looking forward. I think this is going to be a good test this week against New England too, especially because obviously now there's a relationship with Vrabel and he kind of gets us, but we kind of probably get him a little bit better too. I don't know. Just as we move forward, because I mean, you can be a little bit optimistic about this team because they won yesterday. I think we're just so programmed to be so down after that. I mean, yes, right. I know they only have two wins, and I know the second win came against Miami, but I mean, you know, they're not dead. That's what I keep saying this morning, and I think it's not. I think that's the mindset of a Browns fan. But this week, I mean, this would be a good week to kind of prove we're somewhere between Green Bay and Miami, that we can win against teams that are, you know, that not, you know, teams that maybe we aren't expected to win, but we can win.
Yeah, no, I think that's 100% right. And, you know, you should be able to celebrate 31-6. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Browns don't blow teams out very often. And they did. And they were clearly the better team in all facets of the game. So that you should be able to celebrate that, even though you know that, you know, Miami played about as bad as you can play. This New England game is going to be interesting. The Vrabel storyline will be, I think, big this week. You know, New England's 5-2, but in this league, I would say, okay, were they really a 6-2 team? And maybe they are. Maybe New England's that good. But it could also be a 5-2 team that's due for a letdown. And we've seen it's a week-to-week league. We know that. You watch, you know, people wrote off the Chiefs, and now they're going to the Super Bowl. And you see it with every team every week. So can the Browns go into New England? It's going to be hard, but, you know, they will have some good momentum coming off that game. With how well they played, I think, did they find a formula on offense? Maybe at least they found part of the formula. I think Jim Schwartz, what he did on defense with blitzing more and blitzing, you know, the corners and the safeties and being more aggressive and moving Myles Garrett around that defensive front, that gives the New England staff a bunch more to think about. And I think that has a chance to unlock this defense's more playmaking than even it had been early in the year. So, yeah, I think the Browns go in there with some momentum, and they have the bye coming out of that. If you win two in a row heading into the bye and then the schedule is not as difficult coming out of the bye, then you can start thinking. And this league is so interesting. After the game, guys are talking about getting on a run, right? This is the same team that just lost three in a row, couldn't remember what the feeling of winning was, and now it's, okay, you got to stockpile these wins. And that's how this league works. But if you win two in a row, then you start to think, hey, maybe we're on to something.
Scott, we've had three starts with Dylan Gabriel. And the Minnesota game, you could make the argument they should have won that game but didn't. The Pittsburgh game, he throws it 52 times, and that was a strange deal. And then yesterday, he didn't have to throw it much. I don't know if I've ever seen a quarterback play for three games and not have a real good feel for what you might have yet. You laugh. You feel the same way?
I do. Like, I think that there's, you know, a ceiling to what Dylan Gabriel can do just from watching him in practice in three games. And you think, okay, he's probably not going to light it up week in and week out. And that's not the kind of player he is, but it's so hard to tell because these three games are not a huge sample size and probably not an accurate sample. And then you look around him and go, well, he doesn't really have many, you know, doesn't have really receivers to throw to. That limits him, and then you get the line issues that the Browns have had. So I think it is a difficult evaluation of Dylan Gabriel so far, which is why the Browns are going to get a longer look at him. You know, yesterday I thought he was fine. He did what he needed to do. I'll tell you what, the one thing that's not debatable is he understands his role, and he understands what it takes to win a game and try not to hurt your team and not turn the ball over. And I thought he was fully aware of that yesterday and handled that well. You know, he hasn't thrown an interception in all three starts, which is really good. Now, we talked about, is there some luck involved? Sure, but that usually evens out. So I think that's the biggest positive for him, and it was again yesterday, and he just didn't hurt the team. Now, you have to be better than that to be the long-term answer at that position in this league, and you got to go win some games. May haven't asked him to do that yet, but that's going to come, and we'll see how he does on that when he is required to do that.
Scott, thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Scotty.
Thanks, guys.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.